Good morning. It is such a blessing for us to be found in God's house once more this morning. And indeed, we can testify and say that the Lord has been with us this morning. And we pray that indeed He will continue being with us even as we now turn to His Word. Please turn with me to Luke and chapter 15. Luke and chapter 15, we read together from verse 1 up to 7. Though we are only considering two verses from that parable, and that is verse 4 and 5. Luke 15, we read from verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together all his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." May God add a blessing to the reading and further consideration of His Word. Inspired by last week's sermon, seeking the Lord's shepherding, this morning we turn to another passage of Scripture talking about something similar to what we learned last week. And as we come to Luke chapter 15, and what we have just read here, this is the first parable in the Lost series. Some have called Luke 15 as God's lost and found department, because in the 32 verses of chapter 15, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ uses 4 illustrations dealing with the lost and with God's desire to see them saved and restored to fellowship within Himself. And as we look at this particular chapter, we notice that verses 3 to 7 record the lost sheep. Verses 8 to 10, the lost silver. Verses 11 to 24, the lost son. And verses 25 to 32, the lost sibling. So it is a passage that contains this series of lost, 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 and God's desire to bring that which has been lost back to Himself. Now, as we come to chapter 15, and the background of this particular parable from verse 3 to 7 is that as the Lord Jesus Christ begins to minister, or if we can just turn to verse 1 itself, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable. As we may be aware, most of the parables will give us an answer within the same context as to why they have been told. And as we can also remind ourselves, parables are heavenly stories with an earthly meaning. And here we see that as a result of these publicans, the tax collectors and the sinners coming to hear the Lord speak, the scribes and the Pharisees are offended by this particular action. The Pharisees definitely have a problem with people coming to hear God's word. They have a problem with the Lord Jesus Christ interacting and mingling with these people who are unsaved, who are unclean, as it were. These Pharisees, who are very prominent in the New Testament, and they are mentioned, according to research, about 87 times in the New Testament, and especially in the Gospels. So these prominent people definitely are saying to others, this man has a problem. Why let people come and hear him? Why entertain sinners? And because of these things that they are saying, it is important for us also to mention one or two things about the Pharisees by way of information. These people appeared more religious than others. They placed special emphasis on laws which required ceremonial purity. And one of the things that we can see about their belief and their outward actions is that a Pharisee could not purchase food from a sinner. In other words, what we are saying here is that even those of you who are called Christians, as you go to buy bread, as you go to buy groceries, first of all, you have to ensure that the person you are buying from is saved. So these were a kind of people, and probably they were not even going to go to ShopRite and all these other places because they want to buy from a Christian. Another thing we notice is that a Pharisee could not eat with a sinner. And what we also know is that the holy ones, these early holy ones, the Pharisees, declined to a religious pride and outward show, as we see in the New Testament. And so as they are criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a mere failure to see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. In other words, they did not understand who he was. They did not understand his mission. And that is why they condemn him as he entertains sinners. Therefore, to help these people, he gives them this parable of the lost sheep to point them to himself, for them to understand that indeed, this is his core business. Beloved brethren, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 10 reminds us that he is the good shepherd. And this morning, I seek to ask this important question. What kind of a shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, this is the title of my sermon. What kind of a shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ? The immediate answer you probably can give me is that he is a good shepherd, and it is good that you can give me such an answer, and it is correct. But I draw you to verses 4 and 5 to answer this particular question. As we look at one segment of this parable of the lost sheep. And number one, in seeking to answer this important question, what kind of a shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ, is that in verse 4 we see that he is a seeking shepherd. He seeks. He is a seeking shepherd. Because he talks about leaving the 99 and going for one. He turns to them and he says, I am a seeking shepherd. This nature of our Lord Jesus Christ does not just pop up in Luke chapter 15 of being one who seeks. Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, we see in chapter 3 and verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? The Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? That in itself reminds us that from the beginning, when man fell, when man disappointed the Lord, here is a God who goes to seek after him. There are so many other passages that we can turn to. Throughout the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they go far in their spirituality by worshipping idols, and the Lord comes to them, he goes seeking them. It is the Lord himself who even says, come, let us reason together. From the minor prophets, from the major prophets, we see that it is the nature of God. He is a seeking God. Luke chapter 19, the very book that we are considering, a few chapters, we see that he tells us that he is a seeking God. Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek. We therefore see that as we consider what kind of a shepherd Jesus Christ is, that by nature he is a seeking shepherd. But the question then will be, what do we mean when we say he is a seeking shepherd? And perhaps we can just look at the definition of seeking. And this is what we see here. It is to search out by any method. It is to desire to find. And therefore we are saying, as we say that he is a seeking shepherd, that he is a shepherd who desires to find. He is a shepherd who searches by many methods. He is a shepherd who desires that whatever is lost is found. He is a seeking shepherd. But we must ask another question under this. Who is it that he seeks? In Luke chapter 15, we are told that there is this sheep that has gone astray. But at the end of verse 6, he uses this word lost, as he says, "For I have found my sheep which was lost." This gives us an answer as we ask who this or who it is that he seeks. The straight answer to that is that he seeks the lost sheep. But the word lost used in verse 6 here is the same word that is translated perish in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That word perish is the same word that we see at the end of verse 6. And so seeking the lost, here we are saying that he comes to seek the ruined in life. He comes to seek the destroyed spiritually. It is a word that is used to send away to hell. And these, the lost ones that he seeks here, and the metaphor used here and the example of the sheep, we are reminded that usually the sheep is directionless, the sheep is defenseless, and prone to be lost, prone to be in danger, prone to take itself in places that are dangerous. Who is it that he seeks? The lost sheep? The loved sheep? Because it is a demonstration of love that we see that he goes out. He goes out to fetch this one animal. It is that love of the Lord Jesus Christ that brings him to come and seek the lost. He seeks the loved sheep. He also seeks the lone sheep. So it is lost, it is loved, but it is also lone. And by this we also notice that he is going for one and leaving so many others. But the other question would be, why then does he seek this lone sheep? The first answer is something that we've already hinted on. Because he loves this lone sheep. Another answer to probably dwell much more on is that because he knows its condition. That's why he's going for this lone sheep. He knows the condition of that sheep. And its condition is lost and in danger. And that is why he goes for this sheep. Another reason why he does this is simply because it is a prized possession. This sheep belongs to him. He is the owner. And therefore it has got value. And so he goes to seek for it. Not only is it because it is prized possession, It is also because it is a personal possession. It is personal. It belongs to Him. It is part of His assets, as it were, important to Himself. But we must hurry on and quickly apply this. What are we saying in terms of applying it to our lives? What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to these Pharisees is this, that He left the glories of heaven to come and seek them. He left the glories there, a place of comfort, a place where there was no suffering, to come and seek these people. He comes to seek them because they are lost. And we can quickly say that this is true of many of us this morning. That He sought us, yes, but there could be one or two people in the house today who are not saved. They are lost. This is their condition. And He is seeking them this morning. He knows their lost condition. Though they may be partying in this world, though they may be dancing party after party, though they may be singing nice songs, who's your G? You are my G for life, they are enjoying life, but He knows even in those particular moments of joy, their condition is lost and dangerous. Beloved friends, whoever has not given their life to the Lord, whoever has never come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of their sins, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are still lost. And He came for such. Your life is in danger. This world will ruin you. Hell is waiting for you. You are in danger. Anything outside Christ is unsafe and dangerous. The world that you love is dangerous to you. This morning, we are reminded that He is a seeking Savior. And He is seeking you. He is seeking you even by God's word coming to you. Does He just seek? And why does He seek the lost? Second point, He seeks to save. He is a saving shepherd. Verse 4 gives us a picture of this story of redemption, where the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save. And as we are told in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it is not just a matter of seeking. It is not just a matter of finding you, that you are attending Lusaka Baptist Church and that you are seated and that your life is in danger and that you are unsaved and that you are in this highway, high speed, going to hell and the Lord leaves you. He comes to save. Luke 19 and verse 10 still remains our springboard for this point. He is a saving shepherd. The saving of the sheep is an absolute certainty to Him. But what is meant by saving shepherd? Probably it is important for us once more to remind ourselves of what saving means. The definition of save or to save is to rescue someone from something or something from harm or danger. Biblically defining this particular word to save, it is the act of preserving. Or the state of being preserved from harm. It is the deliverance of the soul from sin and its consequences. And so we can say he is a shepherd who rescues. He is a shepherd who delivers the soul from sin and its consequences. This sheep has gone. Its life is in danger. The consequences of being alone there is that it might even be killed, devoured as it were. These are the consequences, and it deserves to be devoured indeed. But here we see this serving shepherd who comes to the rescue. So seeking that does not just end in itself as in seeking, but it also moves on to serving. Those of us who are saved and who say that we are Christians, we mean that indeed we have been delivered from sin and the power of sin, and we've been delivered even from hell. That is deliverance. He is a saving shepherd. How does he save? He saves by grace. These two verses in Luke chapter 15, and that is 4 and 5, we see that there is no call for help by this sheep. There is no one who comes to force him to go and help and rescue this particular, or save this particular sheep. We see that there is no obligation whatsoever written anywhere. And we see that it is probably out of the nature and disobedience of this sheep that it is where it is, but here is the shepherd who goes to save it. In other words, we see this picture here that the sheep doesn't do anything. He goes there. He saves it. It does not deserve to be saved. It does not actually save itself. But this particular shepherd saves. Therefore, we see also that he just doesn't save by his grace. He saves by his power. This shepherd does not summon so many friends, powerful people with muscle to come and help him in this rescue. He goes alone, as it were. He saves by his power. We see that the shepherd was able to lift this particular animal, put it on his shoulders. This particular saving shepherd saves by grace, by power, but also with compassion. He saves with compassion. And when we talk about compassion, compassion is not just this kind of feeling for pity or mercy. It is this feeling of wanting to do something about someone who is in need. And this is what compassion is. He saves with compassion, this particular shepherd. In other words, he saves with this willingness to ensure that the sheep comes out of that particular condition. He is not a kind of a shepherd who saves out of duty, out of fear, out of personal and selfish gain. There is compassion. In other words, the heart is in there. Beloved, what we are saying here is this: that salvation that comes to us by God is given to us by grace. We may have wandered away from the Savior. And as we are taught from God's word that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, we all like sheep have gone astray, scattered as it were. The Lord does not just seek to see where we are. The Lord comes to save us. Beloved friends, He can save you this morning from your sin. He can save you from the power of sin. He can deliver you from those things that hold you so much into captivity, the things that cause you even to sin, and even sin itself, whatever bondage that you are in this morning, He is able to save you. You probably will be saying, I'm like this sheep, but I've gone so far away. I have sinned so much, and I have done things that will always be remembered by everyone, and that these things will never be erased, and therefore I'm done. But He still comes. He's able to save, and save to the uttermost, as it were. He can save you, and He is able to do that. You can trust Him to save you. When this sheep is lying there, and then the shepherd appears, I'm pretty sure that the sheep will trust that here is the shepherd, here is the master who has come, and they know that now things are brighter. And so it is even for that child who probably is in trouble, for that person who is troubled, probably they are in an accident or they've committed a crime or whatever it is, and then there comes their parents, there comes their spouse, there comes their lawyer, and they know that this particular individual is going to help me. Well, you who is not a Christian must be thinking in those lines. That when Christ appears, He is able to deliver you. Though you've tried so many things in terms of changing, in terms of becoming perfect, in terms of attaining salvation as it were, the Lord has appeared. Even this morning, He is here, standing in our midst and tenderly saying, come, will you my children, come, suffer the children. Oh, hear His voice. The story continues. Seeking. Not just seeking. Intending to save. Not just intending to save. When He saves, does He leave you in danger again? We are told in this particular verse 5, and when He has found it, he lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. Third point and last point, and quickly so. He is a securing shepherd. Seeking shepherd, saving shepherd, securing shepherd. And what do we mean by securing shepherd? Straight answer would be that He gives security. And that's what exactly the Lord does when He saves you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am interested in the last part of it. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember the other promise to his disciples during the Great Commission? For I am with you to the very end of the age. He is a securing shepherd. To secure means fixed or fastened so as not to give away or become loose or be lost. When we say he is a securing shepherd, we are saying he is a shepherd who gives security after saving you. He is a shepherd who protects. He is a shepherd who changes the sheep's condition from being lost, being in danger, to safety, to being safe. That is what is meant by he is a securing shepherd. He is very different from that parent who will find you when you are lost and could be so upset. These things do happen, but it's not normal. They want to save you. They will not even walk with you. They are so upset with you, and they'll be walking 5 meters ahead of you. Or when I was growing up, where there was that kind of discipline, walk a few meters ahead of me so that you don't go anywhere. And as you are walking, you know that when you arrive, you have a good beating. You are better off starting to cry on your own. This particular shepherd is full of mercy, and it is unbelievable. What are we seeing here? How does he secure this sheep? By lifting the sheep. Lifting up. Not to say, stand, follow me, here is a rope, follow. Lifting and putting the sheep on his shoulders. Beloved friends, this is called mercy. This is also grace. That's how he secures it. On his shoulders. No more to wander. Nowhere to go. Together as it were. Tight as it were. Moving together. Safe as it were. This is how he secures the sheep. By putting it on his shoulders. But I will add also, by putting it on his shoulders all the way. The shepherd was able to lift the sheep and bear it on his shoulders all the way back to the fold. Beloved friends, he is able to keep that which he has saved to the end. What are some of the benefits of the secured sheep? As we see in verse 5 that there is this sheep that has been secured and it is on the shoulders of the shepherd. What are some of the benefits that we see from that kind of picture? It does not bear the burden and responsibility of getting back home. Once it is found and he puts it on his shoulders, the responsibility is with the shepherd. Another benefit that we see here is that there is now eternal security. There is a constant security. There is a security that cannot be broken. And when we say he is a securing shepherd. He is a shepherd who offers this continuous security. It is this shepherd who bears the burden and responsibility of taking you back to the fold. Beloved friends, perhaps it is still a story to you. This is now reality. When the Lord comes seeking for you, and by the way, the words that we see here, we are not told that if He finds it, we are told when He finds it. And when the Lord seeks, when the Lord comes for you, and when He appears, when He melts your heart, and when you experience what is known as irresistible grace that melts your heart and causes you to rise like a sheep which has seen its master and coming, knowing that this is where my help lies. When this has happened to you and you are saved, know for sure that He is able to keep you. It is not your duty to take yourself to heaven. Some have taken it upon themselves and they are filled with fear that they may not make it to heaven. But there are still some people who are having difficulties coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ or giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Here are people who are saying, I cannot come to Him. I don't know whether I will sustain this. I will fall again. Well, the encouragement is this, that once you come to Him, you will be kept by His power. Going to heaven is not your duty anymore. Yes, there is this human responsibility. Yes, there is righteousness required. Yes, there is devotion to Him that is required. But we know that when He saves you, He will deliver you home. Isn't it also an encouragement when we talk about the assurance of salvation? We can go into all those little details, important details of theology, theological gymnastics, theological jargons about the assurance of faith or salvation. This is a picture of the assurance of salvation on His shoulders. Beloved friends, as we conclude, if you are not a Christian, and I do repeat, your life is in danger. It is in danger because it will be ruined here on earth. It is in danger because you are headed for hell. And if for some reason you are still hesitating, the Word of God says, today, if you hear God's Word, do not harden your heart. You, beloved Christian, you have been saved. You have been rescued. You have been kept by the power of Christ. You are such a great shepherd. And we can say that the Lord, as we end, the Lord is seeking. He is seeking you if you are not saved this morning. The Lord is able to save you from your sins. The Lord is able to keep you from falling. I pray that with these words, we may now come to a point where we sing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Amen.